global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
From Bloomberg World Headquarters, I'm Catherine Cowdery. Stocks are declining on the final day of a week in which the S&P 500 reached its highest level in 4 months. A retreat by energy producers overshadowed better-than-expected earnings from Citigroup. The market extended its declines as Apple shares fell after Japan's Nikkei Asian Review reported that Apple will continue a production cut of its iPhones amid sluggish sales. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day. Dow Industrial Average is down 35 points, two-tenths of a percent, trading at 17,891. S&P 500 down 3 points, an eighth of a percent, trading at 2,079. The NASDAQ is down 7 points, an eighth of a percent, trading at 49.38. West Texas Intermediate crude oil down $1.17 a barrel to $40.33. Spot gold is up $9.10 an ounce at $12.35.60, and the 10-year Treasury is up 12 30 seconds with a yield of 1.75%. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash.
Thank you very much, Catherine Cowdery. It is time now for the ETF Report. It is brought to you by Eisner Amper. Hedge Week, Institutional Investor, Alt Credit Intelligence. Fund managers reading these publications rank Eisner Amper high for excellence in client service. Find out why. EisnerAmper.com/excellence. Let's go to Catherine Cowdery.
Fixed income ETFs are becoming increasingly popular. That's a word from BlackRock chief executive Larry Fink. More than $27 billion of BlackRock's first quarter inflows came from the firm's iShares bond ETFs, driving BlackRock's $36.1 billion of net long-term inflows. Overall, the industry saw record inflows during the quarter of $43.7 billion to global fixed income ETFs. Those ETFs are benefiting from the negative interest rate policies in Europe and Japan as investors search for yield. They first tried to lower the risk by investing in government bond ETFs and are now pushing into corporate and emerging market fixed income ETFs. Fink said he believes fixed income exchange-traded funds will continue to drive more growth at BlackRock. And that's your Bloomberg ETF Report. I'm Catherine Cowdery.
You're listening to Taking Stock with Kathleen Hayes and Pim Fox on Bloomberg Radio.
Stocks may not have been able to shrug off another move down in the price of crude oil. It remains just above $40 a barrel. But don't let that hide the fact that yet another big bank has reported first quarter profit that beat analyst estimates. That was something that pushed the market higher earlier today. And in fact, the losses actually in the major market indexes are small, supported, among other things, by what the big banks have been doing. Who better to put it all together for us than Doug Scioca? He's CEO and partner at Kavar Capital Partners. He's based in just outside Kansas City. Welcome back to the show, Doug.
Thanks, Kathleen. Thanks for having me on.
Well, you follow all things market-related very closely. So much expertise, though, in the bank, so it's great to have you on the show today. Let's start with Citigroup. What happened there to produce this good report?
Well, I mean, I guess good is relative, right? If J.P. Morgan and Wells Fargo yesterday, and I guess J.P. Morgan on Wednesday, but it seems like if the bar is set low enough, the prospects for disappointment diminish proportionately. And while Citi did have a beat, it was purely cost cut driven, I think, more than anything. Kathleen, the revenue in total fell a little over 11% and very little loan growth, although positive, which was a big takeaway from Michael Corbett on the call, and deposit growth, it did again marginally positive at 3%, but 0% net interest margin expansion, which given J.P. Morgan putting up a 7% net interest margin expansion, and maybe somewhat surprisingly, Wells Fargo saw a contraction of 2 basis points yesterday, I guess Citi kind of split the difference and just came in right where they left off last quarter.
Hey, Doug, let's talk a little earnings if we can, because, last quarter we could say, yeah, energy, oil, but this seems to be spreading to other sectors, right? 7 of the 10 S&P sectors are now showing declines. Healthcare seems like it's kind of right on the edge. How do companies deal with this? Well, maybe they cut costs. Gee, that sounds just like the bank story, right? Are we going to see this in other industries?
Oh, I think we will, Tim. I think the banks may be the poster children for the sentiment of the market right now, right? Like I said, you have low expectations. You have, at best described as a moderate economic outlook. You have marginal improvement in credit conditions, and certainly that's an energy issue and a significant bank issue. and you have an intense focus on expense reduction. And that is not the stuff of parabolic recovery curves, but probably par for the course at this point, I think. And if this is somewhat of a ho-hum recovery, this would be an earnings type of profile that would fit. And it's probably going to keep a lid on price movements in the market. It's probably going to keep a lid on valuation expansion. And it may be what keeps the Fed from really heading for the hills.
Well, you know, Dennis Lockhart, I'm taking stock yesterday, President of Atlanta Fed, who had said he thought, you know, a couple weeks ago, the case could be made very, very likely for a rate hike in April, said no. He's changed his mind because the consumer data, what looks like could be a weak GDP in the first quarter, and the question about whether it'll pick up again in the second quarter is too big of a question now. But we're just talking about that with one of our Bloomberg Intelligence reporters. Pim made the point that the level of the stock market suggests things are good, but you're saying it's just not about the level of the stock market.
I don't think it's only about the level. I think it's about the valuation, Kathleen. And I do think sort of the counterpoint, you had Charlie Evans who spoke this morning, and I don't recall the forum, but I read some of the headlines in Washington, and you know, he talked about the progression of a gradual normalization, which is not in the market right now. There's nothing gradual about no additional hikes in 2016. And that Atlanta Fed data that President Lockhart was quoting, they released some really timely data on a weekly basis, and it's been amazing just how far off a cliff they have actually predicted GDP to grow in this quarter, where literally 2 or 3 weeks ago, they were at 2.2%. Now they're at 0.1. So there's something in the data that may have belied the comments from Janet Yellen coming out of the March meeting that lowered the central tendency, that took such a dovish tone, and that she then followed up in her economic, I think it was an economic meeting of the New York Economic Analyst Forum. You guys may have actually been in attendance, but she corroborated that outlook. So there's something that they're seeing that maybe it's credit-related, maybe it's exportation of foreign problems, but there's something that collectively the Fed, and then Bill Dudley again this afternoon, I think he lowered from 2.4 to 2.2. So they seem to be on the same page, which is reassuring, but at this point they certainly don't seem to be or need to be in a hurry to do anything additional for the time being.
Doug, as an investor, if you believe that we're entering a period of stagflation, you know, 2% inflation, maybe an 18 PE on the S&P 500 is a little, too rich?
It would be. I'm not sure we're going to get to that 2% inflation, Pim. I mean, we saw a negative PPI print earlier this week. We saw a 0.1, I think it was, in CPI. So I don't feel like, despite the commodity complex coming off a very deep bottom, I don't see a lot of price pressure. And, of course, we're all going to be tuned in a couple of Fridays to see if there's any wage pressure, which has to be a precursor to product pricing pressure that would then flow through into the economy.
I feel like you took my negative. I feel like you took my negative, Doug, and you did it exponentially.
I don't know. Maybe it's a double negative, but
exactly.
It makes the outlook more positive. But I think the message of the market is telling us, which is maybe why that multiple is defendable, is that this liquidity backstop, it has been extended. Even if it's not through extraordinary monetary policy, it's going to persist for a while, which gives the market the ability to discount at current prices. But I think it's far more stock specific, which is why we like an earnings season with a Fed on the sidelines, because now at least what we're getting on a daily basis is a determination of good or bad companies that could equate to somewhat of a zero-sum game with the outcome. If the market's flat, there could be still good opportunities to own the right companies.
Okay, so give us some ideas. Either specifically a couple of names that you are owning or would like to add to a position or start one, or someone you'd avoid?
Yeah, so if I could stay with more generalities, Kathleen,
sure.
On the sector side, I mean, our equity allocation we view under a lens of a couple core tenants, and they center on consumer staples and healthcare, right? We tend to complement that core with sectors that run downstream of monetary policy. So within consumer staples, we tend to find a lot of value in the indulgence stocks or the sin stocks, as some know them, caffeine, alcohol, tobacco, salty snacks, fast foods, things like that, that have very strong, high dividend paying capabilities. And the theory in the absence of kind of an underlying economic growth catalyst is that each market has a pretty unique market. It's each market cycle has pretty unique markings, but the core elements of human behavior are pretty darn standard, right? Pursuit of happiness, self-indulgence typically persist until there's some health scare, and at that point in time, people pursue corrective course of action, which may entail medical intervention. Mm-hmm. So you have things that may make you sick and things that may make you better. There's a lot of value within those sectors, particularly right now with healthcare. If you think, right, with the negativity that the healthcare sector has been painted by the Valiant brush and the inversion prevention brush. There has been indiscriminate selling and overwhelmingly negative sentiment in that sector. We think that value propositions are literally popping up every day.
You sound a little bit like Bill Miller. He was speaking yesterday in Chicago with Kathleen Hayes about the opportunity in Valiant Pharmaceutical. But when you talked about salty food and things such as that, I kept thinking of Fritos, Cheetos, and Doritos. PepsiCo. Well, what do you think? PepsiCo is going to be reporting Monday. They've got a 2.7% dividend. Is that the kind of stock you're talking about?
Well, I think it is the kind of stock that would fit to that profile, and particularly they should see a little easing of the pressure of the dollar strength that it impacted their margins over the course of the last couple quarters.
There you go. All right, Doug Sciocca, thank you very much for joining us. He is the chief executive and partner of Cavar Capital, joining us from Leawood, Kansas. You're listening to Taking Stock. I'm Pim Fox, my co-host Kathleen Hayes. We're taking you through to the close right now, the S&P 500. Down about 0.1%, lower by about 3 points. This is Bloomberg Radio.